Let us pray. Lord God, may each of us here be willing to open our minds, our hearts, our souls to the movement of the Holy Spirit. May we be willing to listen to what You have to say to us today, and then respond in a way that will tune our hearts to You. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. Our scriptures this morning come from Matthew, the 5th chapter, the 8th verse, which I'll be reading the late Eugene Peterson's The Message, and then Psalm 104, verses 31 through 35. Hear now Matthew 5:8. You're blessed when you get your inside world, your mind and your heart, put right. Then you can see God in the outside world. In Psalm 104, 31 through 35. May the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord rejoice in His works. He who looks at the earth and it trembles, who touches the mountains and they smoke. I will sing to the Lord all my life. I will sing praise to my God as long as I live. May my meditation be pleasing to Him as I rejoice in the Lord. But may sinners vanish from the earth and the wicked be no more. Praise the Lord, my soul. Praise the Lord. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be unto God. So today we finish our stewardship campaign. Well, we finish the sermon portion of the stewardship campaign. There's more work to be done, and so we are going to finish the sermon part today. We've been using as a theme, tune my heart to sing thy praise over these 4 weeks. The first week we had for a theme, tune my heart and guard my heart. If we are going to be in tune with God, we need to guard our hearts. Because little by little, we will allow things to come into our lives that will separate us from God. Separate us in a way so that we cannot hear from God. We cannot see God at work. We all need to guard our hearts. In that first week, Mike and Joan Holliday did a great job talking about their stewardship journey, their life together in that journey. They also talked about some things that they do to guard their own hearts. One of which, if I did to my wife at 4 in the morning, I would need somebody to guard my heart. I'd guard my whole body. Waking my wife up and praying for her at 4 in the morning, verbally, is a wonderful way to guard your heart for some of us. Some of us probably want to wait till about 9:30. But it's a great way, praying with your spouse. The second week, we saw Heather Nadler's video, and she talked about her journey, her stewardship journey, and a wonderful journey that is. And that day, I preached about tune my heart to sing thy grace, that we are all sinners saved by grace. Nothing we have done, but it's by grace of God, and we need to be able to sing the grace of God, that we're all sinners. We all do things to separate ourselves from God, but we need to be willing and able to sing of God's grace. Last Sunday, Doug Thrasher preached on Tune My Heart to Do Thy Will, with a wonderful sermon based on Jehoshaphat. Y'all remember his 3 points? That we need to seek God, listen to God, and then act. Great message. And so today we're talking about tune my heart to sing thy praise. Tune my heart to sing thy praise. Matthew 5:8 is that beatitude. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. But I really love the way Eugene Peterson says it. You're blessed when you get your inside world, your mind and your heart put right, and then you can see God in the outside world. See, I'm convinced that our ability to see God at work, having eyes to see and ears to hear, has something to do, a major portion of which is being in tune with God and in all things. You've heard my story, and it's long and it's detailed. It's a wonder that I am here. It's a wonder that I'm alive. It is a wonder that I am a preacher. Anybody who's known me for most of my life would agree with that. My wife would agree with that. She fully would. I was raised in the church, and just like Meredith, I was given money to go put in the collection plate every Sunday. One time I didn't want to do that. And while I was on the front porch waiting for our parents for us to walk around the corner to the church, I decided I was going to swallow my money. I swallowed my nickel. Young people, don't do that. Might take a day or two, but you got to find that money. But I did that. I truly did that. But I was raised in the church. I was raised to do the right things. And then I got to a place where I knew more than my parents. Knew more than God. Knew more than anybody. And I became the prodigal son. And I went to college. And I went to the far country. And we all know that you went with me. And then when I got out of school and we got married, you know, there was a time in my life that I really didn't want to go to the church, but you have children and you decide you need to go. But there was a time that I didn't really like to go to worship, and so I would go to Sunday school only. And we have people who came to brunch only today. But that happens. But I can tell you, when you only do Sunday school, you can't see God quite as much. And then there was a time I only came to worship and didn't go to Sunday school. I would rather drink coffee in the kitchen with some other guys. And we had some wonderful discussions about the theological things dealing with college football. And I can promise you, if you only come to worship, you'll see some things, but you won't see all that God wants you to see. Then I began going to Sunday school and church, and I began to see a little more. I got more involved, and I was able to see a little more. Got on some committees, and I got to see a little more. See more of God at work. But it wasn't until I began to read my Bible that I got to see God at work. I saw God working through His Word. It was not until I began to pray that I began to see God at work in the prayers that I prayed in the morning. Saw God in a different way. Maybe I was beginning to at least be in the same key as God. And then it wasn't until we started tithing that I began to see. You see, I have been the worst of a church member. I have been so bad as a church member that I had no spiritual depth. It was totally about me. There was a point in my time in my life where I might not have verbalized this, but I thought it. I'm going to give a little bit to the church, but I'm not going to give a lot because I know this church has a lot of money. The people in the church have a lot of money. And I know that if the church needs some money and they're short on money, we've got some rich people who will make up the difference. In my life, there was no connection between how I was blessed and what I gave to God. It was a disconnect. It was nothing. There was no connection with the amount of money I gave to the church in my own spiritual life. There was a stupid time in my life where I was pretty angry with things that were going on in the church. And you know, God has a sense of humor. because please don't ever do this. I went to one of the leaders of the church who was the chairman of the staff parish committee. I said, you know, things are so bad around here, really and truly, if we don't get a change in our pastor, I'm going to quit giving to the church. Please don't do that. But that shows the depth of who we are sometimes when we start thinking about there is no connection between our spiritual life and the depth of our life and who we are and how we see God at work. And it was not until I got right with understanding what God is calling us to do. There is no connection. There are some people that connect their giving to the budget of the church. It has nothing to do with the budget of the church. Hear me. What you give has nothing to do with the budget of the church. It has to do with the condition of your heart. Heather alluded to this in her talk, but Malachi 3:10 spoke to me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough for it. Test me. Somewhere in my life, as I began to have a little more spiritual depth, I started understanding that the church, the local church, is the storehouse of God. It is the storehouse. God has planted within the walls of this church and in this membership, you've heard me say this before, every gift and grace needed to reach this community for Jesus Christ. Every resource that this church, this community needs, we have. Truly. We have a wonderful facility. We have staff. We have great members. We've got ministry and mission. And there are ways in which we have not even begun to imagine the ways that we can do ministry and mission in this community to reach people for Jesus Christ. And it's the storehouse. You see, when I pray hard for this church. I pray hard for the leaders of this church, for every single committee, because you are doing ministry in ways that we can't even imagine yet. And children, and you, adults, and our missions, in worship. All the ways in which we reach out to people outside the walls of this church. And this is the storehouse. And so I give, and so many of you give, because you believe that too. God is calling us to give the tithe to this place. And when we do, we will begin to see God in ways we cannot imagine. Years ago, I asked this in the first service, and Dot Holland was the only one who remembered this person. How many in here have been living in Atlanta long enough to know who Dr. Charles Allen is? Hey, praise God, there are people old in here. Dr. Charles Allen, when he was a young guy, right after World War II, he was the pastor of my church in Thompson. And then those greedy people on Ponce de Leon at Grace United Methodist, or Grace Methodist Church, came and stole him. And he was a great pastor in Atlanta for a number of years, and you know what happened? Houston stole him. Houston First Methodist Church stole him, and he moved to Houston and became, he was the pastor of a, what, it was a mega church before the term mega church existed. Somewhere after he retired, he came back to our little church to preach a revival. And you know, I thought he had to be the most brilliant person in the world to do some of the things he did and to be the pastor of that large church. But he had this saying that just blows me away. I don't understand it, and I can't explain it. And what he was saying is that sometimes in our lives, I don't understand it, and I cannot explain the way God works. but God works. It was not until we started tithing that I began to see God do things in our life that I can't explain and I don't understand. Really. It's absolutely amazing how things that I did not think we would ever be able to do, we were able to do. The first week after the service, I'm talking with Joan Holliday out in the narthex, and she says, "I forgot to tell you this story. I forgot to tell this story. I wanted to tell that story." The reason she couldn't tell the story is because God wanted me to tell you the story. This is a true story. I'm going to tell it the way I heard it, which might not be true. Most of it is true. 4 years ago, we in this church were doing our Capture the Prize capital campaign. Y'all remember that? We were trying to pay off the debt for the Community Life Center and do some major maintenance around the church. We were also doing our stewardship campaign at the same time. Joan and Mike had been praying about what they needed to do. They were tithing. And that we had told them that whatever they do in regards to the Capture the Prize capital campaign needed to be above and beyond their tithe or their what they were normally giving. And so they prayed about it. And God led them to $200 a month for 36 months. They really weren't sure where it was going to come from. But they resolved that at the end of the month, if what they didn't have of the $200, they would go into savings to pay it. Sound like a good plan, I guess. And so when it was time for them to bring their estimate of giving card down here to the chancel rail, they prayed, and then they put that pledge card or estimate of giving card in the basket, and they went home. The very next day, they got a letter from the bank. The bank said, "We have evaluated your escrow account and you have been paying too much money. We are reducing your escrow account payment every month by $200 a month." I don't understand. Don't do a good job explaining it, but that's what I have come to know about how God does what God does. I don't know. But people who tithe can tell stories like that over and over again. Amen? If you want to see God at work, we have to be able to tune our hearts to Him. And when we do tune our hearts to Him, we need to be willing to sing His praises. To praise Him and all that He does in us and with us. Blessed are the pure in heart. For they shall see God. Let us pray. Lord God, tune our hearts. Tune our hearts to sing Thy praise. Tune our hearts to see You at work. Tune our hearts so that we as individuals, we as families, we as a community of faith would be so in tune with You. We will even be more amazed at how much You do, how much You're doing, and how much You want to do through us. Amen.